This is the Woodland Hills Family Church podcast. Our desire is to inspire you and your family to become fully devoted followers of Christ. Now enjoy today's message with Ted Cunningham.
Today, we are going to be one part away from the series ending next week. We've been going through the Sermon on the Mount and the greatest sermon ever. Today is part 15. Next week is part 16. We finished chapter 7. And today we're talking about the broad and narrow road. And we're going to put it in the context of family today and thinking about not just moms, but also dads in this as we talk about leading your children down the narrow road. And one of the things we say regarding marriage at our church all the time is we believe every marriage is a duet in need of great backup singers. And it's one of the reasons why I'm always encouraging young moms to find themselves a grandma. You know what I'm talking about. To help you along on your journey. Not just someone in your family, but another older lady who's been there, raised her grandchildren. Amy and I, years ago, we had our firstborn, and this is over 20 years ago, and we were at a gathering here in Branson, and Amy and I were lamenting over something going on with our daughter and feeling like failures as a parent. And Kathy Lennon, I'll never forget it. She walked over to us and kind of rolled her eyes at us just a little bit, like, you guys have no idea. You're doing just fine. She was trying to encourage us, but she was the one that taught me about the playpen. You see, we had a playpen, but we didn't call it, Gen Xers didn't call it a playpen. It was what? It was a crib. It's where they slept. She goes, that's not at all why that thing was invented. You're supposed to put your children in it, get your work done in that room, and when you need to go to another room, you just drag that playpen into the next room. And that's how you get stuff done. And if the kids mess up, you take the kids outside the playpen, you turn the playpen upside down and put it on top of them. And it's where we got the idea for cage fighting. Give me an amen on that one right there. You put three kids in one playpen with only one toy, they'll figure it out pretty quick. And I watch you moms around here with all your antibacterial product. I love going to restaurants, seeing families sit down and mom squirting each of the kids with a little bit. Listen, you need to find a grandma who used to let her kids pick up cigarette butts and chew on them. That's what you need to learn how to do. And you've heard of free-range chickens. We had free-range kids in our car. We roamed around the car on the drive down the road. We sleep in the back window of the car on long trips. Those were good days. We drank out of garden hose. How many of you remember when your mom would spank you in public? Anybody remember that? My mom wouldn't spank me until she gathered a small crowd around her to cheer her on. I once heard a lady say, he needed that a few aisles back, but we'll take it on this aisle right here. Moms, don't stress out. Happy Mother's Day. Some of you, your kids are with you today, and you've got brunch or lunch planned as you leave here. Some of your kids are not with you, and they're probably going to call later today, which is a good reminder for all of us if you don't live in the area with mom. Give mom a call today. Your kids are not with you, and there maybe is a strain in the relationship, and you're not expecting a phone call. There's the single mom across campus today who did not expect it to be this hard, and she is just wanting a little help, a little support. Many reaching out within the church family for that support. There are stepmoms across campus that you didn't read a book on it, you didn't attend a conference, but you're doing a great job. You stepped into a family and you're trying to figure it out. I love what my friend Kevin Lehman says about blended families. You can't blend a family, you can only collide one. And you're living that out right now and doing the best you can. As it was shared in the video, and I think it was so wonderfully put together the story, but you lost a child in the womb, outside of the womb, and today is not one of your favorite days of the year. And you're wondering what's going to be going on at church, and as you watch people celebrate, it's not really a big day of celebration for you. Some of you desire a child, and you've been praying for years for that breakthrough and for that miracle, but you're still struggling. Again, not your favorite day either. Some of you in here, you have a great relationship with your mom. But Mother's Day is also a reminder for some that don't have a great relationship, and maybe their mom is toxic or doesn't want anything to do with them. They're here today. You have that strained and difficult relationship. Others, your mom is no longer with you. For some, today's going to be the first Mother's Day without mom. Mom has passed away in the last year. For many of us in here, and I'm in this category, today is a reminder that it was your mom who led you to the Lord and how grateful you are for that. I saw this clip. It's only 15 seconds, so you're going to have to pay attention real fast on this. But here is a mom, I think, summing up motherhood in one simple statement.
She came in the kitchen, straddled a chair backwards, and said, "Mom, I had a wonderful childhood, didn't I? And I thought, I'm glad he enjoyed it."
I've seen that thing a dozen times and I still laugh as hard. So if you're new to our church, you need to know Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 7 is a core passage for all of our ministry, family ministry, student ministry, children's ministry, talking about the parent being the primary author of the child's heart. And here's what we read in Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 7. Verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. We believe and we teach to our children there is a God, there is only one God. He is the Lord and he is our Lord." Verse 5, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength." So we want our kids to know there is a God, there's only one God. He is the Lord, he is our Lord, and we will love the Lord. And here's where it starts, mom and dad. It starts with your heart, making sure verses 4 and 5, it's on your heart, because what's on your heart will find its way onto the hearts of our children. Why? Because they see everything you do, they hear everything you say, they forget nothing, and then they repeat. And it says in verse 6, "These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts." So as we talk today about your child's heart, as we talk about the broad and narrow road, it starts with you, making sure you're on the narrow road, making sure you're headed in the right direction, because your children will follow. Verse 7 says, "Impress them on your children." You're already doing this. In marriage counseling, we call this family of origin. And it's why I enjoy working with couples so much, because you are a person raised in a family. You had thousands of hours a year to watch your mom and dad, to hear your mom and dad. They wrote thousands and thousands and thousands of messages on your heart. Then you married someone from a different family. Thousands and thousands of messages written on their heart. And you know that colliding that takes place in marriage? This is what makes marriage so much fun. All of those messages colliding on a daily basis because of what's on your heart versus what's on the heart. How did you get that? How did that get on your heart? You had a front row seat to mom and dad's faith, life, work, relationships, marriage. And you took that all in and it wrote messages on your heart. There's two ways messages are formed on our hearts when it comes to family of origin. You saw something and you picked up that behavior. You saw something and you said consciously or subconsciously, "I will never do that." And that wrote a message on your heart as well. Impress them on your children. How do you do that? Well, you talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Can I just encourage you, mom and dad, do not obsess over the behavior of your children. Obsess over the hearts of your children. That is where all the behavior comes from. We shepherd their hearts. We guide their hearts. And if your mom and dad ever ask you the question, as mine did on a daily basis after doing stupid stuff, "What were you thinking?" That's a mom trying to get to the heart of the matter, trying to figure out what was in that brain of yours that would make this take place. So there's a leadership quote for years that I've heard and I don't like. It's because I don't agree with it. And maybe you've heard it. Leadership is taking people to places that you've already been. In other words, a leader can't take you to a place you've never been or they've never been. And I'm like, so what they're saying is I'm called to lead and I can't lead you someplace that I've never been. And I'm going to tell you, that's not true. The pandemic is a great example of that. I had never been through one, but yet I still had to lead us through it. You lead a business or an organization. You had to lead people through something you've never been through. Here's a better way, I think, of saying that. And I know the poster that has the eagle flying on it. It makes for a great little leadership quote. But here's a better way of saying it. You lead your children down the road you're on. And so today, as we talk about the wide or broad and narrow road. It starts, Mom and Dad, with you. Are you on the narrow road? This is where it starts, not with your children, because we can't ask something of them that we ourselves are not doing. Matthew 7, picking up in the Sermon on the Mount, we're going to make four observations, and then it's repeated in verse 13 and verse 14. Verse 13, enter through the narrow gate. So Jesus is being very clear. And remember, this entire sermon, he's been addressing the Pharisees as well, and the behaviors that they would take on and try to encourage other people with, but that they forgot the heart. And throughout this whole message, the Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew, Jesus is coming back to the heart. You say you've never committed adultery, but let's talk about lust. That's what's in the heart. You say you've never committed murder, but let's talk about the anger that resides in the heart. Jesus was constantly coming back to the heart. And in this text, he goes on to say, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. There are many ways that seem right to a man, but in the end lead to death. And he said, then many enter through it. Now, the broad road and the wide gate, I've heard some say about the wide gate that it's so wide today that you don't even need it. Because this is everybody saying, whatever you want to do, however you want to live, it's the idea is that in the end, I'll end up in heaven, I'll be with God, but I'm going to choose whatever path I want to get there. I'm going to do whatever I want to do, and it's just broad, it's narrow, and you see it today every time you turn on the television this week with so much conversation with all that's going on in the world about just what faith means and how you can choose this way or choose that way. But in the end, this is universalism. Universalism teaches in the end, we'll all make it. That's the broad road. The teaching that you can do whatever you want, believe whatever you want, have this ethic of love, just be a good person, do the right thing, give, attend church, that in the end, you will be with Jesus. And Jesus says that right there is the broad road. It leads to destruction. And guess what? A lot of people are falling for it. Many are going to take that path. But he says, don't watch this. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, eternal life, and only a few find it. And I'm here to declare for you today, the narrow road is for those who place faith alone in Christ alone. Jesus was very clear. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And so if you today think, I am coming to the Father, but let me tell you how I'm going to do it. If you're figuring it out on your own and you can do it without a relationship with Jesus, you are on the broad road heading toward death and hell. Jesus is painting this clearly. He said, but the narrow gate is me. Choose me, a personal relationship with me. It's not any way you want it. That's the way, I'm starting to quote a song, I think. Any way you want it, that's the way you need it or whatever. I don't know. But it's the day that we live in. It's the day that we live in, and people constantly challenging this exclusivity of Christ. And it's not popular today, but we believe in the exclusivity of Christ. There is only one way to the Father. It is the narrow road, and it is in the name of Jesus, period. Why is this important? Because the Pharisees were all about the outward appearance. They were all about doing the works righteousness, that do a bunch of good stuff, and this is what's going to clean us up and make us presentable to God. And that is the broad road that leads to death and destruction. Jesus is being very clear. In light of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is comparing the wide gate and the broad road to the outward righteousness of the Pharisees, which leads to death. Jesus is focused on internal transformation. It's why as a church, we've never been into behavior modification. When I meet someone in town and they tell me they'd come to the church, but they just have some things to work on, no. Why don't you join us Sunday? Place faith in Jesus and let him go to work with you, right? You don't have to clean yourself up for salvation. Jesus is the only way. Then the fruit that is produced out of that, right? So our good works is an overflow of our salvation, not the source of it. And that's what Jesus is saying in verses 13 and 14. Don't count on your works. If you're counting on works righteousness, you're the broad road leading to destruction, not outward behaviors requirements. So I found this picture this week. I like it, but I wish there was like more than one person on this road. I'm like a Baptist totally put this together. Methodists, Lutherans, you know, non-denominationals, but look at that. I'm the only one going, no, don't overread this today. But some of you right now, and we live in America, and I think this is one of the struggles we have is with this idea of majority, and we get the vote and all of that. I get all of that. But you know a majority can be dead wrong. And for some of you, like, man, but there's just so many people that believe this, or there's so many others that have talked to me. It just seems to make sense. If whatever way you've been counting on for salvation, if it's not Jesus, it is death and destruction. So choose the narrow gate. Jesus said, can't be any clearer. Choose the narrow gate, choose the narrow road. And mom and dad, number two, as the primary influence of your child's heart, teach them to spot bad teaching. Teach them to spot this universalism that finds its way into the church, or this moral relativism that finds its way into the church. It's just whatever goes and whatever you believe, you know, you're the source. I find your truth. No. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And you have to be able to spot it and call it out and say, that is not true. That is false teaching. Jesus goes on in the sermon to say, watch out for false prophets. So what did he say? Enter through the narrow gate and watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. I still imagine this sermon being preached with, the Pharisees know what's being said about them. And Jesus couldn't be clearer. What they're doing, you think they have your best interest in mind, and you think that a relationship with God is possible by what they're teaching, but they're actually damning you to hell with this works righteousness and outward righteousness. They're ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or fig trees from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. And a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Verse 19, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And so we have to be fruit inspectors. Now, some of us are like, well, this is, we're going to see behaviors. Well, in the text we're getting ready to head into, you're going to see three things that you go, well, that's good stuff. But Jesus says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Why? Because if you're doing that to change this, that's not how it works at all. Internal transformation, Jesus is saying, please understand the narrow road. It begins, it's a relationship with me. Join me on this road and watch the fruit of your life. Watch what changes in your life. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. You will recognize them. Don't practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. This is Matthew chapter 6. We saw it. Verse 1. Be careful, Jesus says, not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So Jesus is continuing to build on this throughout this entire sermon. We are not transforming our lives on our own. We are transformed by Jesus. He justifies it, right? Justification, right? We are declared righteous because of the finished work of Jesus. We are sanctified. We're becoming more like Christ. Why? Because of Jesus. We will one day be glorified and receive new bodies, right? That's because of Jesus. It's not a process where you and I are doing this to gain favor and gain access from God. Please hear, the works in your life, the good works which we're all pursuing, let it be the overflow. Let it be good fruit, but never let it be the source. Never let it be the source of your salvation. Number three today, no amount of religious activity will make up for your sins. No amount of good deeds will make up for your sins. No amount of church attendance, no family history, Christians going back generations in your family will make up for your sins. Jesus died for your sins. Jesus is the one who paid the price for you. And watch this. Now, this passage, I hope you see it in context today, because this passage strikes fear into the heart of many Christians and in many ways brings unnecessary doubt into the life of a believer. But if you understand who Jesus is talking to and you understand the context, what he's been sharing throughout this entire sermon, we read in verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, drive out demons in your name, and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. When I talk to folks at our church who struggle with their salvation, yes, this passage is brought up, and oftentimes they'll tell me, I just don't know for sure. And then when I start to get into the security of the believer, the exclusivity of Christ and the security of the believer, what I hear start to come out of them is, I struggle with this. So then I start doing all of this. And then they start talking about all the things they're doing to try to gain assurance. Listen, he is the source of my salvation. He is the assurance of my salvation. And I, for the one in here, and I know you're in here because I've heard it, I don't know how many times, Ted, I hope in the end when I stand before the Lord, and there's, I don't know where you get this gigantic scale, but this, there's going to be a scale, and my bad deeds are going to put here, and my good deeds are going to be put here, and Ted, I just hope that my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds. And I'm like, what? I'm just going to hear this from the heart of a pastor. What a miserable way to live your life. And I'm sad for you. And I want you to know the truth. I want you to know the truth. The truth is, it's not weighing this to determine whether or not it's like, do you know Jesus? Because if you're counting on this for your salvation, you're on the wide road. You're on the broad road. But if you've declared with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believed in your heart that he's been raised from the dead and trusting in Christ alone, by grace, through faith, in Christ alone, period, for your salvation, this is the narrow road. No longer looking to your works. No longer looking to what I hear people say all the time. I've always been a Christian. I grew up in a Christian home. My parents are Christian. I go to church. I don't smoke, drink, chew, or date girls who do. And let me tell you, I grew up with this. I shared this at 8:15 and thought I'd leave it off at 10, but I'm feeling it. So we're just going to tell you this. I've never smoked marijuana. And I remember at 8 years old, walking into the garage of a family member. And this was before it was legal. And there was a marijuana cigarette. You see how well I am versed in the language. A joint, all right, was sitting there. I'm 8, 9 years old. I went up to it and I grabbed it and I smelled it. I put it back down. And at 51 years old, I'm still dealing with that. I knew it was wrong. And I mean, I couldn't tell anybody about it, but I felt I did something wrong. And what if a flake got in my nostril? What's going on? But I'll tell you who set me free. Bill Clinton set me free. When he said he didn't inhale, I was like, whoo! I didn't even light it. So I got to be way better than he is right now. But I would say, we'd have these evangelists come to our church growing up, and they would share these sensational testimonies. I mean sensational, about coming to faith. We had one guy who was like the president of Hell's Angels Biker Club, and I know he did things he couldn't put in his testimony. But he put enough into it. Like, and I'm sitting there at 8 and 9 going, man, I don't really, I haven't done a lot of hard time yet. Haven't done this, that, or the other. And I did hold a joint once and smell it. And so, but can I just tell you, you don't need a sensational story. You need a salvation story. And you need to be able to declare with your mouth, not this cosmic scale. Not this, I hope the good Lord lets me in. Listen, to go through this a little bit further, this is in the context of our children today, I know. So there are some of you in here, and you know this for your kids, and your kids are with you. They're children who are not saved. They are on the broad road, and they don't give it a second thought. It's like just no time throughout the day. There are children who are not saved, but think they are. They're counting on their works or something to save them. There are children who are saved but live with doubt. And this can also be because of works. You've sinned. You're in an unrepentant, persistent sin right now, and you don't know how to get out of that. So that's causing you doubt. And so you think to deal with that sin, right, and to find freedom from that sin, you just need to try harder. You need more willpower. No, I'm here to tell you, cry out to Jesus, the source of your salvation and the source of your faith, because what we're looking for are children who are saved and know it. They have a salvation story. And Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 sums this up perfectly for us as we kind of bring this into Matthew 7 and what Jesus is speaking of. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone." I could say that another 10 times. And I still know there'd be some that wouldn't get it. It is not about your attendance. It's not about your giving. It's not about the good things you're going to do today for mom. It is about knowing the person of Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior and allowing all the other good stuff we're talking about to be the overflow, but never the source. Why? This isn't from yourselves. You can do nothing to save you. It's a gift of God. It's not by works. And this is what the Pharisees were all caught up in, works and making sure you see it. Listen, you don't need a sensational story, but you need a salvation story. Have you accepted Christ by grace through faith alone? Have you repented of your sins? And now, as a born-again believer with a salvation story, the overflow of your life and the sanctification, your life is being changed because of Jesus. We're not just cleaning up the outside. We have no desire to be a church full of whitewashed tombs, cleaned up people, but dead on the inside. We want you to experience life in Christ and let the overflow be the good fruit so that no one can boast. I did a funeral a couple of years ago, and it was at a church, and this church is part of a denomination that required that the pastor of that church be a part of the funeral, but it was someone that was from our church that moved to this area, and I traveled for the funeral, and I get there, I meet the pastor, super nice guy, and he's brand new to the church, probably a few months there. And we're meeting with the widow. And I knew the widow well. I knew her husband well. And I remember the pastor, you can just tell he's just trying to do his job. Sweet guy. And he asked the widow the question, "Did your husband know the Lord?" And I don't see a lot of angry widows in my work as a pastor. But this woman, she went off. And I mean, the pastor was shell-shocked. Like, I just asked if he knew the Lord. But she was so defensive, and I kind of came in, and I said, he's just asking for the story. I hope if I ask for your salvation story that it is just clear and just rolls right off your tongue, that you know. And if you're defensive in any way, maybe the question should be asked. And again, that pastor didn't know this person, so he couldn't inspect fruit. He didn't know good tree, but he wasn't able to be around this family. But if I were to ask you today for your salvation story, tell me about the time you got saved. You placed faith alone in Christ alone. You threw your hands up, and some of you are like, "I never did that, so am I saved?" You know what? Go with me on the metaphorical, you know, deal. You confessed your sin, denied yourself and your works, like, "I am done trying to clean myself." Will you, Jesus, as I declare with my mouth and believe in my heart, be my Savior? When you go to 1 and 2 Timothy, I love how Paul is encouraging young Timothy. And it takes us today at the end where we started this morning. But he says to young Timothy, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois." I love this passage because it's just a reminder to us that, Grandma, yes, even your grandkids are watching. What many of us in this room are experiencing today in our walk with Jesus is because it's been passed on to us. I have a mom who loved Jesus and passed that love for Jesus on to me. She led me to Christ. I heard a guy this week say, "All I know, I never growing up understood who this Andy guy was that my grandma was always singing to." And somebody's like, what? And so he goes, just walking around the house, she was always singing, Andy walked with me, Andy talked with me, Andy told me I was his own. This guy said, I thought Andy was my grandpa for a lot of years. But that's somebody who is declaring the name of Jesus from sun up to sundown while they sit at home and while they walk along the way. And I'd say this to every grandma in the room, you're probably in the most influential season of your life. You got more eyes on you than you've ever had. And your mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. So what? Well, 2 Timothy 3:14-15. But as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know from whom you've learned it. And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So my encouragement to you as we close today, the prayer team's going to be down front here and over at the chapel, and there'll be plenty of bouquets left. You don't have to rush out of here. Meet with someone from our prayer team. If you don't have a salvation story, we want you to leave today with a salvation story. And this would be the day, and we're going to baptize in 2 weeks, and you can sign up for baptism. But let today be the day that you renounced your works righteousness. You renounce the wide road, and you get on the narrow road. The road, Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Mom and Dad, keep talking about the Scriptures. Keep walking out the Scriptures in your life. Keep the lines of communication open. We said it a couple weeks ago, and I'll say it again. Keep answering your small kids' questions early on, because later on they're going to get more complicated. And I want the conversation to continue. I got adult children now. My 19-year-old son, the questions he's asking me about the Lord's Supper and the questions he's asking me about his Seventh-day Adventist friends, I mean, he'll ask me questions and I'll be like, yeah, I got to go to the bathroom. I've always believed that... And then I'm a pastor and I got to go look stuff up. I got to get a commentary out. Be that parent who keeps the conversation going. And I promise you, Mom and Dad, your questions are going to get more challenging. So you keep in the Scriptures as well. Pass on what you've been given. And I've asked Katie Gum to come and close out the message today in our service. When she told me this story on Easter, I said, oh, I'm going to use it as an illustration. Better yet, I'm going to make you share it and confess your sins before this congregation.
Well, that's a great setup. Thank you for that. This is a true story. As we get ready to dismiss today, I just have an encouragement here to all the moms. But on Easter Sunday, my daughter Nora, who's 8 years old, she is out in kids camp because they're here all 3 services with us on Sundays. And she said, I want to go into 3rd service with you. So come get me and then I can sit in service with you for the 3rd one. So I said, no problem. So I went out to kids camp to grab Nora. We also have a little boy named Nash and he's 6 years old. So he was also in kids camp. And so I said, Nash, I said, Nora's going to come with me to 3rd service. So you can hang in kids camp, but Nora's going to come with me and I'll be back to get you after 3rd service. And he kind of just looked at me and he's like, you're going to come get me after 3rd service. And I said, well, yeah, buddy. Like, he's like, hold on. I'm going to write you a note. And I said, oh my goodness. I said, well, buddy. And he kind of looked at me and I thought, I've never left you behind. Like, why are you so worried? And he kind of looked at me and I had a memory and I thought, it was just like that one time. It was just one time that I left him, you know, like just one, it was like 1.5 times. It was 1.5 times that I left him behind because I thought Matt was getting him, but then I was getting him. It was a whole thing. So Nash, I have to show you guys something. He wrote me this note. It says, remember me, okay, with a thumbs up. That's him giving me a thumbs up. So that's my encouragement as we dismiss this morning. Moms, don't forget your kids. Remember them, okay? Thumbs up. Ladies, I just want to be clear to all the ladies in the room, all the adult ladies, those bouquets of flowers are for you. So not just the mamas. We want all the ladies in the room to be blessed today. So make sure you grab a bouquet of flowers at one of our 2 flower stands this morning and be blessed. We love you all so much. Happy Mother's Day. We'll see you next Sunday. Y'all are dismissed. Thank you.